Welcome back. It's another week of SEC baseball. I'm now joined by Robbie Falk. He covers the Mississippi State beat for On3 Sports and Starkville Daily. He's also the co-host of the Thunder and Lightning podcast. I've heard of a couple of pretty good Mississippi State baseball players. I think that's why that's in the name there. So, Robbie, these two teams are pretty familiar. Not necessarily the players on these teams, but I mean, I think both fan bases are always fired up when these two teams get together. I mean, it goes back to the Super Regional, and I think it was 2018 where State came to Nashville and won that, and then ended up keeping their run going, and then Vanderbilt won it the next year, and then State won it, the year after that. So, man, it's been interesting to follow this rivalry. I mean, I've had fun watching it, and for Mississippi State, you know, this season they've gotten back to, you know, feeling like they're going to make the tournament. Now, barring a disaster, I guess that could happen. But, I mean, feels like this State team has gotten some things figured out. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this weekend. But I appreciate you joining.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm really excited about this series. I always am. There's been some absolute classics over the years between these two teams. And it dates back to, you know, Tim Corbin versus John Cohen, and we kind of know those two guys are intense, and you know, there's been some heated moments in that rivalry over the years, and it's translated to different coaches for Mississippi State. Vanderbilt's kind of stayed consistent all the way through. You know, they've had Tim Corbin, who's really put this program on the map and done a great job there. Mississippi State's had a lot of ups and downs. It's a program that after winning the SEC in 2016, the head coach decides he wants to be the AD, and it just created this, roller coaster ride for Mississippi State fans. But from 2016 until 2022, whenever things started kind of going downhill, Mississippi State was routinely in position to go to Omaha, and they did go to Omaha in 2019 and 2021, and also 2018 when they beat Vanderbilt. But the last 2 years, the last 3 years have been a real struggle for this team. I think they've been finding their way back this year, and they're starting to kind of get back on track a little bit. There's still a lot of issues with this team. There's still a lot of things they don't do well, but I think we're starting to see a little bit more of a normal Mississippi State baseball team this season as opposed to what we saw the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about the head coach wanted to become the AD. And, something I really respected about Mississippi State and that team that came in here and won that Super Regional was that, you know, they were very veteran heavy. And obviously they had an older coach in Coach Henderson there that, you know, kind of just let them do their thing. And, you know, they had the bananas going on and they had fun. And then, you know, you bring in Chris Lemonis and, you know, they win a national title, you know, in his first season. But you know, in baseball, and I don't necessarily buy the national title thing where, you know, that's some curse. Obviously it's worked out that way with Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and LSU.
We'll see this year with LSU.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I don't buy that. I think for Mississippi State, at least that year, and I don't know if you agree, they lost a ton of veterans. And when you lose veterans all in one off season, and this was kind of right at the beginning of NIL, I don't know. If Mississippi State or any college baseball team was heavy in NIL, so maybe that affected it too. But would you say with Lemonis, at least last year, because I was surprised by last season, you know, I think probably a lot of you guys were by maybe how bad it got. But do you think it was just kind of the veteran presence leaving and then kind of rolling into 22 and then 23 last year?
Yeah, I mean, you lost in 19 – you lost Jake Mangum, and you were able to kind of pick that up in 2020 with Justin Foscue, Jordan Westberg, two MLB guys. You had some other guys coming up, Tanner Allen. Those guys were a different kind of players. They were guys that they went out and they took care of their own business. They didn't have to be motivated. They were self-motivated. And 2020, I think, was shaping up to be a really good year for Mississippi State. They struggled a little bit in non-conference, but they were finding themselves late in the non-conference there and looking like a team that was going to be very difficult to deal with. They had swept a top five team in Texas Tech in a midweek series. And it looked like going into SEC play, this team was ready to roll. And COVID happens. You have to kind of restart. A lot of those players came back the next season. And there was no Jordan Westbrook or Justin Foskey, but Tanner Allen had that same mindset as Jake Mangum. Rowdy Jordan had that mindset. Those are guys that you saw in 2018 as true freshmen playing against Vanderbilt and leading that team to the College World Series. And there's something to be said about learning under Jake Mangum as a true freshman going to the College World Series. Those guys were veterans at that point, and they kind of ran that locker room. Chris Simonis didn't have to run that locker room, and he didn't have to do it in 2019 or 2020 either. So I think what you saw late in the year and when you went into the College World Series was a team that was not going to be the nine. They felt like in 2020 they had a chance to make a run, and they had that stripped from them with COVID. So that team was determined to get to the College World Series again and to finally break through and win it, because they went in 2018. They were a game away from the national championship and couldn't beat Oregon State. They went in 2019. They lost to a really good Vanderbilt team and then got put out by Louisville. It was in the back of their minds, and they were not going to be denied. A lot of those players left, and the ones that were still around had not been through a lot of the hardships that those teams had in the College World Series. And I think they had gotten a little full of themselves, so to speak. I think they had – a lot of people were telling them how great they were, and there just were not very many alpha males on those teams. And you've seen that now the last 2 years with this Mississippi State program. This year, there are several guys on that field that are just not going to be denied. They have the mentality. Johnny Long at catcher, David Mershon at shortstop is like that. I think Dakota Jordan's like that in a lot of ways. I think Connor Hijack has shown the ability to do that as well. So there's several guys in that locker room that they're just kind of tired of losing, and they're not going to be punked out there. I think that's been a big part of Mississippi State kind of getting back to where they were, and hopefully, you know, for this program, getting back the prominence.
It feels like it's getting there. 27-14 overall this season for the Bulldogs. 10-8 in conference. Same as Vanderbilt. So, you know, like you said, I'm excited about this weekend as well. State has won 5 in a row. They're 5-6 on the road. Not as bad as some other SEC teams. Vanderbilt's 3-7. So I obviously the road record could be worse. But obviously, what everybody looks at, you know, this year with the Bulldogs is some of the midweek losses early in the season. And you saw that last year too, but then you get into SEC play and, you know, some things start to feel a little different. You beat LSU in Starkville, you know, you go and take at least one from A&M, you know, Florida, you lose that series, but you take one, you don't get swept. You know, Georgia, obviously Georgia's looked really good this year. You guys take 2 out of 3 from them. So, What has been different? I know you mentioned the alpha males and you know, some older guys, but so far this season, why has Mississippi State, in your mind, been able to get to 10-8 and be in position to? It might be tough to host a regional, but there is a path there.
The pitching, first and foremost, I think that is the biggest takeaway. This team is top 5 in the SEC right now in ERA, and that's a year after they had quite possibly the worst season in school history as far as pitching is concerned. They've cut that earned run average down to, I think, 3 runs. They were over 7 last year. It's now in the 4s. So it's been a remarkable job what Justin Parker's been able to do. They've gotten 2 – just about every weekend they've gotten 2 really good starts from Cal Steven and Gerangelo Sanja. That's been huge for them. The bullpen has not had to be taxed hardly in any weekend. Cal Steven has been incredible the last 5 weekends. Really struggled against LSU. I think he gave up 5 runs in that game and lasted only 2 innings, 5 or 7 runs, I forget. But he got off to a really bad start in SEC play. The last 5 weekends, he's been outstanding. 6 innings or more every single game. He's, you know, last week struck out 11 guys in 7 innings. He pitched over 8 innings against Ole Miss. So he's giving up two or less runs every start in the last 5 weeks. He's throwing six or more innings. That does a lot for you on Friday nights if you have a guy that can come out and do that. Mm-hmm. Because what I've noticed in SEC lately is it's become kind of a bullpen game for everyone who has the better bullpens. Starters just are not giving guys, you know, six or seven innings in a game. You're just not seeing that as much. There's several teams that are able to do it, but not everybody's able to do it. You know, watching Ole Miss and Auburn the last two weekends, they're not used to having guys go out there and give them six, seven innings. So for Mississippi State to be able to do that this year has been huge. And I think it's really set them up on the weekend. It's given themselves a chance. And the offense has gotten them, you know, just enough, it seems like. But you look at the last few years. I mean, last year, State plays Vandy and gets run ruled in a couple of games, I think. And none of those games were really close. And that was kind of the case for a lot of SEC weekends for State last year. Tons of run rules, not many competitive ball games. This year, the issue is not being able to finish games. So it's a big step forward, but it still has people frustrated that they've had basically six games in SEC play where you felt like you had a really good chance of winning the ball game, and that's being within two or three runs. They've lost 9 or 10 games this year total by one run. So this is a team that's very close. They're very close to being a top 16 seed. They're very close to being a national seed. But right now they haven't done all the little things to put themselves in position. I think it's a regional team, but they're still missing a few things that could put them in position to competing for Omaha, to competing to be a national seed.
Last weekend against Auburn with the sweep, I think was interesting. Vanderbilt swept Auburn as well at home. And Auburn, I don't think gets the credit they deserve. They've had a brutal schedule. Now they could be the worst team in the league, but it's also the SEC. So that, you know, there's not a ton of shame in that. And so State sweeps them last week. Cal Stevens started Friday night. Saintia started Saturday, and then Tyson Harden got the win. I'm not sure if he's got the start as well there on Sunday, but is the rotation going to look like that this weekend, you think, or has it been announced? I know probables are usually Thursday afternoon. We're recording this morning, but has the rotation stayed the same pretty much all season? And, if there is changes, what do you think the changes would be this weekend?
SEC play has been the same every weekend. The season started with Nate Dome as a Friday night starter, and that was a guy that I think started against Vanderbilt last year on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, Vanderbilt fans saw him. He was one of State's most talented pitchers coming in the season, a guy that's running up there to 98, 99, really good fastball, but was dealing with some injuries. He missed several weeks of SEC play, came back and started on Sunday against Georgia two or three weeks ago and lasted 12 pitches, and they brought him out. Didn't feel well as far as the arm is concerned. So I wouldn't expect to see him moving forward, and State's prepared for that. And SEC play has been Cal Stephen on Fridays, Gerangelo Saintia on Saturdays, and to be determined on Sundays. Usually that's been Evan Sieri, but I think they're shifting away from that. And last Sunday it was actually it was actually Brooks Auger, who's been one of their top bullpen guys. Got him three really good innings, and in the fourth, he kind of started falling apart a little bit. So he's a guy that can give you three really good innings, I feel like. And whether or not he's going to pitch on Sunday, I'm not sure. That's usually a guy they bring out of the bullpen, and that was a doubleheader day, a seven-inning game. So I don't know if that's going to be the direction that they go. Tyson Harden did get the win, and he got the – save in the first doubleheader on Sunday, came back and pitched the second game and threw two innings and struck out five. So he's a guy that is emerging right now. It looks like a State's closer. And that's a player that last season, when he came in the ballgame, you're pretty much throwing in the towel. He had a 12 earned run average. He gave up 28 runs, I think, in like 19, 20 innings. So when he came in the ballgame, it was game over. But in the offseason, Justin Parker has really worked with him. He's added a sinker. There's a lot of sink on the fastball, so teams are not really able to square him up and barrel him up. He's had 10 straight outings without a run surrendered, and they've kind of used him late in blowouts to really make sure nobody's able to come back. But I think that he's emerging as the possible closer. You could see him late in a ball game in Nashville this weekend with State clinging to a lead or something like that. This is probably as close to closer stuff as Mississippi State has had now in the last few years.
All right, let's go offensively. Dakota Jordan is the guy that stands out, hitting 379, 16 homers, 55 RBIs. David Mershon hitting 343, athletic guy, likes to get on base and steal. Connor Husak as well. Bryce Chance, you know, those are the four guys hitting in the 300s. Hunter Hines has always stood out to me as well as a power type guy. He's got 9 this year. Obviously, State and Vanderbilt both are not huge power hitting teams, but I think they've proven they can, you know, they can still beat some good SEC teams without hitting, you know, 80, 90 home runs like your Tennessee and your Texas A&M types. What have you seen from this offense this year? And, you know, against Vanderbilt's pitching, you know, a good pitching staff, maybe not an elite pitching staff, but a good pitching staff. What are maybe your expectations from the Bulldogs at the plate this weekend?
They've just been so inconsistent. And, you know, one of the things that's really frustrated State fans the last few weeks is the leadoff spot. You know, Monty Larry's there at the leadoff spot and has really struggled. He's really struggled to get on base, which is something that he's done well in his last 2 years. But he's having trouble even getting on base right now, and it just seems like he's in a funk. You know, his batting average in SEC play is dipping down in the low 100s. But Chris Lemonis believes in him, and he really believes that he can get out of this. David Mershon's been a guy that's been more of a typical leadoff guy. He's been getting on base. He's a pesky kind of player. He's going to really tick off the other team. He's going to put a lot of pressure on you on the bases. And he gets on base. So, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be tough to get out this week. Connor Hijack has probably been their most consistent player in SEC play. If you look at his SEC-only numbers, probably State's best hitter. And just puts together consistent at-bats. He's been a really good power guy. But when guys are on base, he's been really good at driving them in. You know, Dakota Jordan is what he is. He's had, I think, 15 hits in the last couple of weeks. A lot of strikeouts. He will strike out, but if he makes contact with it, it's got a chance to go a long way. There's potential in this lineup, but there's been several holes. The top of the order with Imani Larry has been a hole for you. You've had a lot of issues there. And then bottom of the order, you know, Logan Kohler at third base has really struggled this year. Johnny Long has been okay. He puts together good at bats. His numbers aren't great, but Ethan Pulliam has been a guy, a freshman that's now at second base. He started in the last five games, did not start prior to that, and he has 7 hits in the last 5 games. So that could be a guy that does some good things for Mississippi State this weekend, but there's just been some inconsistencies there. They've made a lot of blunders on the base paths. It's a team that has, you know, potential to be really good on the offensive side of the ball, but just hasn't been able to fully show that potential just yet. And that's kind of what people are waiting on, is for this team to break out offensively.
All right, let's get into this weekend. I think there's potential for some low scoring affairs. I remember an SEC tournament game. It might have been Drake Fellows. I can't remember if Ethan Small was pitching, but it was 1-0. I mean, just a ground out fest. Vanderbilt ended up pulling away from State there. But, you know, I think we could get some low scoring, number one, because both pitching staffs are top 5 in the league, you know, in a lot of categories. ERA, you know, strikeouts, they're both up there as well. And then offensively, they're bottom of the pack in home run and power. I'm not saying there's not going to be runs scored, but in terms of this weekend, I mean, we could get some good pitching matchups as well. Carter Holton's been going Saturdays the last few weeks. So it'll be interesting to see if he ever moves into the Friday role. It could be this weekend. We'll see. Bryce Cunningham has been going Friday night. So Cunningham and Cal Steven potentially Friday night, and then Carter Holton and Saintia. I mean, those are two really good pitching matchups, I think. And then Sunday in a lot of these SEC matchups, Robbie, has been basically home run derbies in a lot of games. I mean, where, you know, you just kind of run out of pitching late in these games, but Pitching wise, I think we could see some low scoring games this weekend. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it could very well happen. Like I said, State has had really good starts most weekends from Cal Stephen and Durango Asangia. Those two have given them chances to win those ball games. Those are, to me, the two most important games for Mississippi State is try to find a win in one of those two, and then Sunday you see what happens. That's kind of the case every weekend, really, in these series. You want to get to Sunday with a chance to win the series. That's always kind of the wild card day. You never really know what you're going to see. And State's got to have two really good starts. You want to put your bullpen in good positions. And more often than not, they have. State has had the upper hand of the bullpen in a lot of these series. And that's kind of the key this weekend is you've got to be able to get those good starts from Cal Stephen and Durangelo. And Stephen's been a guy that he's not going to walk a lot of players. He's going to make Vanderbilt beat him. He's going to throw it in there. You're going to have to hit it, and you're going to have to score runs. And the last five weekends, teams have had trouble doing that. Two runs is the most runs he's given up in a game in the last five weekends, and that was against Florida on two solo home runs. And he left that ball game leading 6-2. So, you know, he's given State a chance every single Friday night with the exception of that LSU series. And that's all you can ask for. And Durangelo, he's only really had one performance where he kind of struggled, and that was against Ole Miss 2 weeks ago. And State had a 7-3 lead in that ball game with him in the dugout. So it hasn't been their fault in any game outside of the LSU game at this point. So, you know, that's kind of State's key this weekend. They have to come out and get two really good starts from Durangelo and Cal and then see what happens on Sunday.
On Saintia, I mean, ambidextrous pitcher, is that correct? I mean, how often does he switch? Is there ever a time where he doesn't, you know, is he always right on right, left on left there?
No, I think it really is dictated by the – you know, when you look at the splits of the players, if it's last year it was, you know, he was going right on right, left on left. I mean, it was a straight up switch. This year he's been more right-handed dominant, but he will go lefty, and it's really dictated, I think, by the splits, by what you see. If a guy's has a 180 batting average against a, you know, left-handed pitcher, he's probably going to switch the left-handed side. So you will see it, but you're more often than not, you're going to see him go righty.
That's crazy. I'm looking forward to see that Saturday with Saintia, but should be fun. Friday night, 6:00. That'll be on SEC Network Plus. 2:00 Saturday, also on Plus all weekend, and then Sunday at 1:00. That's Robbie Falk. You can follow him on Twitter, Robbie Falk on 3, covering Mississippi State 4 on 3 in Starkville Daily. Robbie, should be fun this weekend. Thanks for taking the time.
Looking forward to it, man. Appreciate you for having me.